Good evening, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the Parish Priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 13 year B. Our readings today, 2 Samuel chapter 11, from verse 26 to chapter 12, verse 13a. Psalm 51, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, and the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is Mighty, and He is the Lord. His name is Creator, and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name means He is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, You are everywhere, and You know everything. There is nothing You do not know, and there is nothing You do not understand. There is no place that we can hide from Your searching gaze. You know our thoughts and our dreams, our hopes and our fears. We can fool everyone else, even ourselves, but we can never fool You. You are sovereign. You are the Lord, and there is no other. We have come to worship You for Your greatness, but we have come to praise You that Your greatness is clothed in loving kindness. We ask that You will speak the word we need to hear. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to respond. Amen. We have the hymn, The Sounds of Fellowship, 205, I Cannot Tell.
I can't tell.
We pray the Collect for Proper 13, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, and, because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Wages of Sin. The Wages of Sin. The book of Genesis tells us that sin entered God's very good creation with Adam and Eve's disobedience to God. They chose to disobey God and follow the directions of the tempter, the serpent. The writer of Genesis states, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." Genesis 3, verses 1 to 6. Disobedience to God opened their eyes to the differences, and they knew that they were naked. Disobedience to God had its consequences. The serpent was punished, being cursed among all animals and among all wild animals, to crawl on its belly and eat dust, with enmity between you and the woman and her offspring. The consequences for the woman was pain during childbirth and desire for her husband, who will rule over her. The man was to toil cursed ground that would be unproductive and work exceedingly hard for his livelihood until he dies and returns to the dust from which he came. From the beginning, sin had severe consequences. It meant separation from the Creator. We are reminded that God is spirit, and therefore separation from God leads to spiritual death. That is, separation from God's life, God's love, and God's goodness. Our Old Testament lesson last Sunday from 2 Samuel 11 verses 1 to 15 told us of David's sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David, as king, should have been leading his soldiers in battle. Instead, he remained behind in his palace, and his idleness led to sin. He found himself on the slippery slope of sin. From abandoning his duty as king, in his idleness, he moved from lust to abuse of power, to adultery, to deceit, to attempted murder, and then to murder, having Uriah the Hittite placed in the heat of the battle so he could be killed and David could take his wife to cover up his sin of adultery. God was displeased with David. Our Old Testament lesson today from 2 Samuel 11 verse 26 to chapter 12 verse 13 tells us, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront King David regarding his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband Uriah. Instead of accusing David, Nathan laid a trap by telling him a story and asking David in his role as king to adjudicate the matter. Nathan tells the story of two men, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. One day the rich man had a visitor. In order to entertain his guests, he did not take a lamb from his flock. He took the only lamb of the poor man to entertain his guests. As king, as expected, David's anger and righteous indignation was aroused by this obvious injustice. He deemed the rich man worthy of death and declared that he make a fourfold restitution. Nathan declares, "You are the man." David is faced with the reality of his sin. He has to face the consequences. The prophet declares, "You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and has taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9b to 12. The consequences for David's sin were severe. His family became so dysfunctional that it was a constant source of pain and strife until his death. David's son, Amnon, raped his half-sister, Tamar. Tamar's brother, Absalom, avenges her shame by killing Amnon. Absalom rebels against his father and takes his throne and sleeps with his father's concubines within the sight of the people of Israel. What David did in secret was punished in the sight of all Israel. Sin represents rebellion against God's rule and God's will and results in separation from God. Since God is the source of all life, the result of sin is a lack of life, that is, death. In Romans 6:23a, Paul affirms that the wages of sin is death. Additionally, when we sin, there are always negative effects. All sin affects us and our relationship with God, and affects others as well. Sin, therefore, has serious consequences, both spiritually and practically, affecting our lives and relationships in many challenging ways. Sin has practical consequences. It can result in broken relationships. It not only creates a barrier between us and God, it affects our relationships with each other. Lies, betrayal, anger, and selfishness damage trust and intimacy. Sin has emotional and psychological consequences. It often leads to shame, anxiety, and emotional tumult. It fills us with guilt, which weighs heavily on our hearts and minds, affecting our mental well-being. Sin can also have practical effects on our lives. There can be loss of reputation, legal consequences, and health issues. Sin can create patterns of behavior that enslave us, addiction, destructive habits, and unhealthy choices become chains that bind us and enslave us. Paul affirms, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. We do not have to die in our sin. God, through Christ, by his death on the cross, offers us forgiveness. If we acknowledge our sins, are truly sorry, desire to do better, and confess our sins. Through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we can, through forgiveness, experience healing and transformation. We can experience emotional healing, emotional freedom and peace, release from the burden of resentment, anger, and bitterness. Forgiveness helps us to restore broken relationships, foster love, trust, and reconciliation. It breaks the chains of guilt and shame and facilitates spiritual renewal. We draw closer to God, and we continue to experience God's grace and mercy. As we struggle with the temptations that lead to sin, we can say with conviction, "Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Amen. Let us pray. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Jesus, bread of life, feed your church with your gifts of faith and trust. Equip us for ministry to which you call all baptized in your name. Grant that we may grow into maturity in union with you. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Jesus, bread of life, nourish our public life, with your gift of prophetic wisdom. Inspire us to look beyond immediate needs and shallow pleasures. Grant that all may delight in your goodness. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Jesus, bread of life, sustain our life with your gift of sufficient food and water. Give us the will to ensure none go hungry or are malnourished. Bless the work of aid agencies and trade justice movements. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Jesus, bread of life, revive all who are weary and exhausted with your gift of patient hope. Strengthen and uphold them in their suffering. Refresh them with knowledge of your presence. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. Jesus, bread of life, restore us in the gift of your eternal life. Hear our prayer as we remember those who have died. Grant us to share with them in the eternal banquet of your love. Sing praises to the Lord, whose love endures forever. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Our hymn, Songs of Fellowship 1, 2, 9. God, forgive my sin.
Jesus' name, I've been born again in Jesus' name.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service of God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the love of the Father enfold us, the wisdom of the Son enlighten us, the fire of the Spirit inflame us, and may the blessing of the Triune God rest upon us and abide with us, now and evermore. Amen. And we wish all of you a very Spirit-filled, rewarding, and productive week. Please be safe. We end with CPWI 495, Amazing Grace.